Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Welcome back. It's the Bull and the Fox with you on the Fan. Indians in the Bronx playing the hottest team in baseball. The New York Yankees this weekend, who won 13 of 14, something like that. Three-game series tonight, 7:05, tomorrow and Sunday at 1:05. And then the Indians will go to Milwaukee after a day off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before coming back home next Friday. TJ Zuppi of The Athletic is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Zuppi, how you doing, man?
Doing well.
Before we look back, let's look ahead because I was mentioning the Yankees are on fire right now. And that lineup versus Josh Tomlin cannot make you feel good tonight.
Yeah, I was thinking about that after his last start, that of course this is the matchup that you get the guy that can't stop giving up home runs. What is it, 10 and 18 in the third innings going to Yankee Stadium, where the ball just flies out, especially for left-handed hitters. So it's certainly not a great matchup for him. And to his credit, you know, throughout his career he's made an entire living off of being the underdog and getting kicked to the curb and coming back and somehow finding a way to surprise everybody. And he'll need to do that again if he wants to hold on to his spot in the rotation.
Is he in danger? I mean, like, we know Tomlin has these stretches. Like, when he's bad, he's the worst, right? He's hideous. But he does have stretches where he pitched well. He did pitch well at the end of last year. He is up and down. I mean, you can't go on like this forever. But how short is the leash for Tomlin right now?
I think it's getting a lot shorter and maybe even shortened up a little bit more when Adam Plutko came up yesterday and pitched really well. Because I think a lot of it just came down to not having a great alternative, or at least not knowing if you did. And so you stick with him because Ryan Merritt's still rehabbing, and Plutko, Morimondo, and there's always Shane Bieber in the offing, but there's a lot of unknown there. So you stick with a guy that throughout his career has proven to be a pretty solid fifth starter, at least a guy that you're perfectly fine with occupying that slot. But, you know, when he's pitching the way that he is and he's still searching and, you know, they feel like they've pinpointed something in his delivery to help him be better and try to get back that elite command that has escaped him early. You know, they're going to give him that chance to try to work through that. But I don't know how much longer he can be at this level of bad and they keep running him out there. I mean, if he's showing signs of getting better, and I think we saw a little bit of that in his last start, you know, he settled down a little bit. Then he gets a little bit more leash on there. But when you're already facing a situation here where the bullpen's beat up and they're short and guys out there aren't performing very well, you're really putting yourself behind the eight ball if you're going to force the bullpen into these games in the fourth and fifth inning every time through the rotation. I mean, you're just forcing everybody else to be perfect, and that's unfair to all the other guys in that rotation. You know, it's just not going to happen like that. So I think it comes down to, you know, them sticking with him because they weren't sure what else they had. But once you have Plutko come up and pitch pretty well, and Shane Bieber keeps pitching well, at some point they're going to reach the end of this leash, and a lot of that's just going to come down to whatever that baseline is with Tomlin.
TJ Zuppi is with us. TJ, the bullpen's a mess. Andrew Miller, who is on the DL right now with that hamstring injury, there's some reports he could be back as soon as this weekend. I'm concerned about that hamstring. I don't want to rush him back. I want to make sure this guy doesn't have any issues the rest of the year. What are you hearing on Miller?
Yeah, I mean, he felt like initially he didn't even really need the DL stint. He battled this in Baltimore a few years ago, and he said he needed like 3 or 4 days before he got back to feeling where he needed to be. And I think he said within 7 games he was back and pitching and he didn't go on the disabled list. But that was when it was 15 days. Now it's 10, so you can be a little bit more proactive. And that's why they put him on the disabled list, just to bring up another body. And God knows they've needed it over the past few days. They have said that, you know, they will be cautious if they need to, but they're not just going to hold him back just to hold him back. They won't look at that off day Monday and say, well, it's better if he waits another couple of days. So they feel like if he's ready to go Sunday, he'll be on the team. He'll be ready to go. In fact, he made this trip to New York just in case he is ready to go. And as far as your concerns go with the bullpen, I think all of those are warranted right now. And this really accents, you know, something that we've probably talked about a million times throughout the winter. They didn't do much to address the bullpen. They didn't go out and get anybody beyond just that non-roster minor league contracts to fill the holes of Brian Shaw and Joe Smith. Now, if you have Miller, if you have Allen, if they're both pitching like they should, it's not as noticeable, and you probably get by just fine. But, you know, anything that's off of kilter in that bullpen, in this case it's an injury, then you're asking guys that aren't typically in these high leverage spots to now slide up and take on those situations. Even Tyler Olson, you know, now he's been asked to face lefties and righties, and he's at his best when he's just facing lefties and probably facing just a couple of guys, and he's out of the game. Well, now when they're, you know, asking these guys to take on a bigger role, they're not performing, and now you add Nick Goody's injury into the mix, and he wasn't pitching well in the last few outings too. You know, it's just making it even more difficult to navigate. So I think it comes back to, you know, it was a point of contention, a major one this offseason, that they didn't do much to remedy that. And now that they had the injury, you're starting to see that kind of creep through. And I can't believe that they're surprised that this could happen.
Yeah.
But here we are.
You know, and especially, I mean, like, to the point where you're throwing Cody Allen in the eighth inning and throwing 40 plus pitches the other day. I mean, that's how bad it is right now. And the Indians, you don't want to make a panic move. I understand it's early May, TJ, but I think they're going to need to make a trade, not only for this year, because think about it. The bullpen stinks right now besides Miller and Allen. And as you mentioned, you know, Goody and Olson were good last year, but they kind of came out of nowhere, even though neither has been in the big leagues for very long. And they kind of got exposed. They've been exposed, it seems, this year. That doesn't mean they couldn't bounce back. But, you know, I think a caller actually brought this up. I think it makes a lot of sense. A guy like Raisel Iglesias from Cincinnati, a good young closer on a good contract, from a team that's out of it, could make sense, because let's face it, there's a decent chance they might lose both Allen and Miller at the end of this year. And then this bullpen goes from excellent to this year where it's just got two good guys to garbage next year.
Yeah, that's probably the more alarming thing.
Yeah.
Miller is going to come back, and if he's healthy, like I said, you'll probably be okay there, especially
sure.
if you go out in July and add another piece. And I think at this point it's kind of screaming that they're going to need to do that. But this is just a little bit of a glimpse into next year, life without Andrew Miller, and maybe life without Cody Allen, too. And it's why I agree with you and I agree with your caller. If you can target somebody that you control beyond this year, I think they need to do that. And I'm a little surprised that they didn't start to look at maybe some of those guys that were injured this year that you could potentially sign for 2 years, you know, try to fix the bullpen a year early by bringing somebody in and you rehab them and then they're around for an extra year, sort of a little bit of a longer term investment. But they didn't go that route with anybody. I don't know what they're going to do in 2019. And in fact, you know, the front office, when they've been asked about it, they've not really given many answers themselves. I don't think they know what they're going to do in 2019. That's why I think that would be a smart move. And,
yeah.
and you know, in fairness here, if you're going to go out and get something in July, the easiest thing to probably go get is a reliever. And
yep.
The Indians can afford to be patient because, you know, this division right now is garbage. And even if they're not playing their best, they're well and above everybody else in this division. But still, it's an area that needs to be addressed more than likely. And, you know, to their credit, they have gone out and fixed their holes in the past few years.
Yep.
But I think they're going to need to go ahead and do that again this year. And there's a lot of teams out there that are going to be eliminated from postseason contention. So there are going to be opportunities. They just have to make sure they get the right guys.
We're talking with TJ Zuppi of The Athletic. TJ, I don't think this is a good idea, but we did have a tweeter who thinks the Indians should go after Matt Harvey. I don't know if you saw the news. He just got DFA'd in the last hour because he refused an assignment to the minors. I don't think the Indians need to acquire a pitcher outside of the organization. And I don't think Matt Harvey's the right guy. He's a bad attitude. I've heard bad things about him off the field. And he's been terrible for the last 3 years. I don't think that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, other than knowing that he's been bad, I haven't really studied him.
Yeah.
And I know he just got designated for assignment. And it's easy. Like, you see somebody that used to be talented.
Right.
And you know this organization has done such a good job of kind of bringing pitchers back to some past success or helping guys get to a level that no one ever thought they could. So I think that's a credit to their organization that people think that, you know, if he came here that they could get him turned around. But I understand it from that point. Is it easy to do that in the thick of a pennant race after, you know, the season's already underway, you're already 5 weeks into it? I don't know if the timing is great to try to get that done. I don't know how willing he would be to try new things in a new organization. Yeah, I think there's a lot of variables there to make it really difficult. What I will say is, as far as just him, I don't know much about him, if at all, him personally or how he gets along with his teammates. But again, the Indians pride themselves on being a group that you know, anybody can seamlessly transition into and being a good clubhouse. And part of the benefit of that is that you should be able to take some guys that maybe on other squads don't fit in as well, but, you know, because you have a good group in there that you can kind of make it work. So, you know, that's where Terry Francona separates himself among other managers, because he's so good at managing just the personalities and being open and honest and getting the best out of those guys. So from that standpoint, I wouldn't worry as much as just, you know, is he good anymore? I don't know if he's good anymore, and it might be difficult. You know, if the Indians, as much as we're saying they can be patient in this division and maybe give some guys internally some looks here in other situations, it might be difficult to do that. I don't know enough about that situation to say that would be a good idea or not.
TJ, I saw a stat. The Indians are 5-10 against teams over 500. Is that a concern? Are the Indians, getting lucky by playing a pretty weak and soft division schedule here?
I never put much stock at all into that, Dustin. Okay. Just because, as you said, the division is the most important thing. If you play well in your division, you're probably going to look up and have a pretty favorable position at the end of it. And the other thing is, you know, you can play all these teams really well. You know, they kicked Houston's ass last year. They didn't play them in the playoffs. But you get to the playoffs, and it doesn't really matter.
Right.
What you did in the past, it doesn't matter. It's the short sample size where an uncharacteristic performance, either good or bad, can completely change a series. And everyone, you know, we went in last year, everyone thought, the Indians clearly the better team over the Yankees, and they ended up getting beaten in five games in pretty disappointing fashion. So I don't really care that much about that. And I think the other thing is, you know, when you look at those sorts of things, because the schedule, you only play these teams once at their house and once at your house, and some of that is spread out over the length of the season. Some of those things happen when guys are injured or it's cold or it was just a bad game for a few guys. You know, we're talking about really small sample sizes that I don't put a lot of stock into.
We're talking with TJ Zuppi of The Athletic. TJ, let's talk about the roster moves today. We knew they were coming because, obviously, the bullpen's beat up, as we've talked about. They had to get rid of their 26th man from the doubleheader yesterday as they head on the road. Giovanni Urshela, we knew eventually they were going to have to let either Urshela or Gonzalez go. They designate Urshela for assignment. Beliveau gone as well. Plutko gets sent down. And Alexi Ogando comes up. Some thoughts on Urshela, and I guess Ogando could be a long man for them out of the pen, and who's starting down in the minors. Give me some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think the Urshela-Gonzalez thing is really interesting, because at the end of spring, I mean, I had it in my mind that if not for that injury, the hamstring to Urshela, he would have been on this roster. And then the season gets underway, and he's rehabbing, and it always kind of felt like, okay, they're keeping Gonzalez here, and he's keeping the spot warm for Urshela. Then it gets really hot in these last few games, and it seemed almost ridiculous to think about a guy that's hitting almost 400 in an extremely small sample size, I know, but still, the past three games have been incredible for him, that all of a sudden you're going to designate him for assignment. And I wonder how much of this comes back to, you know, for a guy that has been banged up, hasn't played this year, is coming back off the hamstring thing, and doesn't have the ceiling that Gonzalez has. I wonder if they look at these two and think, you know, if we're going to try to sneak one of them through waivers, the guy that's more likely to clear is Urshela. And we don't want to lose Gonzalez because he does have a little bit more upside. And, you know, if we get into a pinch where we have to play one of these guys for an extended period of time, whether it's Lindor goes down or Ramirez goes down or Kipnis goes down, you feel probably better about giving Gonzalez everyday at-bats over Urshela. Urshela is, it seems like, a really good fit for when they just need somebody to occasionally spell an infielder or bounce around and not get many at-bats. But his ceiling is just not quite as high as Gonzalez is. So I wonder how much of that plays into it. And we'll see. You know, they haven't placed him on waivers as of yet, or at least we don't know that for sure.
Right.
Maybe they try to trade him. Maybe they see if there's any other interest out there. And maybe he ends up clearing and they end up keeping him. But I think they pretty much had it in the back of their mind that whoever they ended up waiving, they were going to lose. As far as Ogando goes, I mean, I think that's smart to get a look at him. He's been pitching well in Columbus. And as you said, he was stretched out. And that's probably one of the biggest reasons why he stuck around at the end of camp is because they gave him an opportunity to start down at AAA, and that's what he was hoping to get. So he comes up here, gives you a little bit of length, and you know, one point was a kind of a decent pitcher, and see if maybe you got something there. I have no problem with that. Look internally before you start trying to go out and make a ton of trades. And the rest of it, obviously, just some housekeeping stuff.
Yeah.
The Bellevue, you know, you're thankful for the one out he gave you against Joey Gallo to help you win a game.
That's right.
And the fact that they got that much is probably an already icing on the cake.
Yeah. The bats have finally heated up, TJ, with the weather getting nice. Brantley's been great. Lindor and Ramirez have gotten hot now. Maybe Kipnis is finally starting to get out of it a little bit. Encarnacion with the 3 home runs the other day. But Kipnis specifically, because he's the biggest concern of the group, because you know he was so bad last year and he is in his 30s now, you never know. Are you confident he's going to end up having a typical Kipnis season, or are you worried it's going to be like last year?
I still think that he's going to bounce back and at the end of the year have a pretty solid season. And it's been disappointing, no doubt about it, at the end of the year, because he was so hot at the beginning of spring training. He's crushing everything out of the ballpark. And then, of course, he gets off to a rotten start. He's in, like, every at-bat, it seems like he's in an 0-2 hole almost immediately. He's either being way too patient and letting 2 pitches come in, or he picks a bad at-bat to be aggressive and he's swinging out of the zone. But we've also seen him start to take the ball to the opposite field a little bit more. Some of the positive signs that we see in the past that kind of signal that he's coming out of it a little bit. And he's also dealt with a little bit of bad luck, too. It doesn't explain everything. Doesn't explain why his batting average is hovering around the Mendoza line. But I still think there's a little bit more than what we've seen so far. And we've also seen with him, you know, a lot of times he can get into these huge slumps, but he's also capable of then just going on a 2-week stretch where he hits almost 500 and is carrying the offense. I still think there's an element of that in there, and they'll give him a little bit more time to see if they can figure that out. But I try to remind myself and anyone that asks me, you know, it's never as bad as you think in the worst of times, and it's certainly never as good as you think in the best of times. What they've done the last few days offensively, does that mean they're the best club in the American League offensively? Probably not. Were they as bad as they were in April when it was really cold and the ball wasn't sailing out of the ballpark? Absolutely not. Truth is always somewhere in the middle, and I always believe that, you know, at the end of the year you'd look up and they're going to be one of the better teams offensively in the American League. I still don't doubt that.
TJ, thoughts on Terry Francona's 1,500th victory?
Yeah, he didn't even know. They had a little bit of a small celebration for him.
Milby
set it up, and they had some champagne after the game. But Kluber came up to him after the game and shook his hand and said, "Hey, congratulations." And Tito kind of looks at him side-eyed like, "Why? We've split many doubleheaders before. What's the big deal?" But it's just so, you know, it not only is, you know, does he have the track record here in Cleveland, but the fact that he's done it for so long in a sport where it's, you know, really difficult, especially in 2 places that he's managed, Philadelphia and Boston, to stick around for very long. No, Philadelphia didn't go very well. But his time in Boston, his time here in Cleveland, there's no doubt about it. He is not just one of the best managers right now. I would say he's one of the best managers of all time, and I would guess that he's on his way to the Hall of Fame.
No doubt. Oh, absolutely, TJ. And by the way, that was some day at the ballpark, right? 2-hour rain delay, 4-hour extra, 4-hour plus, what was it, 5 hours the
earned
first game?
Earned his paycheck yesterday, TJ Zuppi.
And 17, right? We were at the ballpark for like 13 hours, 14
yeah,
hours?
Yeah, I mean, I chronicled the whole day, like hour by hour, minute by minute over at the Athletic.
That
so people
great.
Want to see, you know, not just what happened on the field. Everyone sees that. But if people want to see what the reporters were arguing about and complaining about, whether or not they got enough pizza in between games and all that kind of different stuff that was happening behind the scenes, you can check it out over there at the Athletic.
Were you guys all stunned when I showed up in the press box the other day, TJ?
Yeah. Like, I don't remember seeing you down there for quite some time.
I know. I never go to the press box.
And I always, I laugh.
Bull's too good for the press box, TJ. You know that.
He's too good I told Zach Meisel this. You get so excited when you get around a bunch of other baseball people that, like, we can't shut you up. You're just like, we just wind you up. You're like a wind-up toy.
Yeah.
You're just
it's a good
like,
way to put
know,
it.
Like, because I got to deal with these football Neanderthals all the time.
Baseball, 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 baseball.
We talk about a real sport, you know?
Oh, shut up.
I like it.
This is
shut
a dated reference
up.
Now, but it's like when a kid would walk into Toys R Us. Like, that was you in the press box the other day. And I'm so happy that you got that experience.
All right, TJ. Good stuff, buddy.
Real sport these.
We'll talk to you soon. TJ Zuppi from The Athletics.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.